Blog Talk Radio.
I'm trying to do it. Get home. I'm driving.
Oh, Lord.
It's pretty important, yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
I got y'all on Bluetooth.
Okay, well.
Does Bluetooth count?
To make do.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Brother For Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Now, the brothers have not been around live for a while, and Robert and I looked at our numbers when we're not live. Don't nobody want to hear us recorded. It's weird, man. Nobody wants to sit there and hear us unless they know we are here.
What? Are you kidding?
Yeah. I'm not.
They don't hear our greatest.
It's
they don't
weird.
Hear the greatest.
They don't want to hear it. I was like,
what did the greatest?
I was like, I know y'all didn't hear this show right here because this was the first one we ever did. And nobody shows up. They hear the reruns, man. Not even you. I can tell, Robert, you're not there.
Hey, man, but you know what? I'm the same way. I do not like listening to folks reruns. You know that? Me either.
Huh?
I don't like listening to folks reruns either. I'm going to confess. So if Neely Fuller or Joe Madison, any of y'all listening, I prefer to hear you live. Just going to say, I'm just saying.
I mean, what if you were like a DJ, man? You know the DJ, he's going to, instead of him playing music live, he's going to play a recording he did at another party. Or play the recording he did at your last birthday party. You don't want to hear that.
Alright, man.
You don't
want to
hear that.
We gotta come live more often. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm hitting at.
Want some listeners, huh?
That's what I'm hitting at, but guys. Our fan base does not like reruns.
Right.
The only reruns they like is the one that used to be on What's Happening. Y'all remember reruns? The guy used to be on What's Happening.
Is he still alive?
I doubt it. Oh, no, though.
Yeah, he passed. He passed away.
A lot of people dead, man.
This is to rerun. Big Joe could dance, though, boy. That Joe could dance.
Soul Train, man.
That little red hat on his head with a tam on it.
And suspenders.
Little arm wind up and hit him behind his back.
And them galluses on.
Yeah. Grab your socks.
Log in, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Brother For Real Radio Show live tonight. Do not change your date. Do not change your channel. We are actually live tonight. We are on May the 4th. Is it day May 4th?
It's always live.
Lord, it's Curtis Gatewood over there, man. We got a full house tonight. Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I think you heard that. Was that Daniel too? Who's that?
No,
Joe.
Man.
That was Joe. Had Leon a question. Hey, Curtis.
Oh, that was
Joe.
Ask for a question.
Leon a question.
Yes, sir.
When is your 5K?
May 14th. Next Saturday.
May 14th. Next Saturday. Okay, I'm glad I got that straight.
Let me congratulate, ladies and gentlemen, since Mr. Joseph Gatewood mentioned the 5K. Mr. Joseph Gatewood is responsible for donating over $1,500 to this event. So let's give him a big round of applause, Robert.
Yes, sir. Where's that audience over there? Hey, audience.
What's my
y'all
audience
hear that? At? Y'all hear that?
There you go. Congratulations, man. We love you, man. We love you down here in Anson County.
Glad to be of service to you, brother.
Yes, sir. God is good. God is good. Ladies and gentlemen, this will probably be one of our bigger.
Y'all doing some great stuff, and I'm glad to be able to be a part of it.
We certainly appreciate it. You can't do great stuff without great money, I tell you that, so we appreciate it.
Amen.
We have a lot of people signing up for this event. It's like probably one of the bigger ones we'll have. And I understand we're going to have Mr. Robert Gatewood there coming in out of the D.C. area. Is that correct, Robert? Is that still on your agenda or itinerary?
There you go. The crowd says yes. He must be coming.
I understand my big brother J.C. Gatewood has signed up. He brought the check by the house yesterday. So he signed up. Yes, sir. The brothers are going to be in the house.
I got to sign up. I'm going
to. We have Minister Curtis Gatewood going to be the master mixer that day. He's signed up. He's ready to be here. He's excited. He's going to be here. Yes, sir. We have an exciting, a really big show coming up. Young lady named Asiya. I'm going to look her name up in a minute. But this sister is a very powerful sister. She's going to be doing a warm-up and doing some other things for us that morning. And I'm very excited to have her. We have gotten all kinds of contributions. The big time, Yawari Bank, I'm going to give them a big shout-out. They've donated $5,000 to this event. PD Electric, $500. We've gotten $500 from Plank Road Realty. Just Dunkin' Donuts came down yesterday and spent about 2 hours with us at the Hollow Center and left us a $500 check. Just a beautiful thing happening here in Anson County for the community coming together. We went out to the middle school on yesterday. Guys, and I'm going to shut up, but I got to get this out. It's in me. I'm feeling it. I went out to the middle school on yesterday. Young lady name is, first of all, they had the Brothers for Life there. These guys are powerful brothers. They're going to be here on a future show with us. These brothers started a nonprofit. They're out of Charlotte. Mr. Peter McNeil is the founder of the organization, and he's also a movie producer. Anyway, he has a movie short story, a short film called Postal. He used to work at the post office, so he did a short film called Postal. Now he has a nonprofit organization called Brothers for Life, and those brothers were out there with us yesterday at the middle school. Dr. Carolee Bryan, who just 8 years ago was a volunteer at the Hollow Center, is now Dr. Carolee Bryan. She'll be walking on, I think, this Saturday. She'll be going to work at Johns Hopkins up in New York. So she was, like I said, a volunteer here only 8 years ago, and now she's up there. And also, like I said, there was a young lady here yesterday talking to our kids. Her name is Carolyn Singleton. Ms. Singleton left our event, sent me an email. I got an email almost as soon as she drove off. Well, let me give her a couple of hours. A couple of hours later, I got an email from Ms. Carolyn Singleton. And Ms. Carolyn Singleton sent an email saying, "Dear Mr. Gatewood, thank you for inviting me to speak. Within the next 2 weeks, you will be receiving a check for $2,000 to help support your program." From Fidelity. It's just amazing, the things that are going down here. And I'm going to tell this story, I'm going to shut up. You know, guys, Dr. Jenkins, the president of Livingstone College, is retiring in June. In my opinion, he's one of the greatest men. He's one of the greatest men. He right up there with my dad, you know, and, people like that. He's one of the greatest men. Dr. Jenkins is retiring. And I'd say he's one of the greatest men because he reached down into small Anson County with his power and did the best he could to keep us motivated down here. I saw one email where he had sent out to his staff, his culinary arts school, suggesting that they stay in contact with the Hollow Center in Anson County so that they could work together and build each other up, so we could build each other up. Anyway, so we start pulling our thing together to go up there and recognize him, So I wanted to take some kids with me. I took three Anson County students with me. One of the students I requested for sure to go with me was Miss Kenya Miles, who played Rafiki, played the role of Rafiki in our play, our production, our adaptation of The Lion King, which was The Lion King Jr. That they performed excellently. Joseph can attest to how good they were. Anyway, so Kenya, I asked one of our staff members to reach out to Kenya, see if she would go with us. Kenya, when the lady, when Miss Pettifor called Kenya, Kenya said, "I'm going to tell you no story, Miss Pettifor. I was getting ready to call Mr. Gatewood and tell him I wanted to go on a tour of Livingstone College." True story. So we get to Livingstone College, long story short. Kenya performs The Circle of Life for Dr. Jenkins. Dr. Jenkins gave her a full scholarship to come to Livingstone College on the spot. On the spot, guys. Full scholarship. Kenya has it made. I was in a group yesterday with a young lady who ended up with it. She said she had $100,000 worth of college loans to pay off. Kenya, because she hurried to call, and because Dr. Jenkins used his power to do what his heart led him to do. Kenya is only a junior in high school now. But Dr. Jenkins told her to get him her information, and he'll make sure it happens because he's retiring in June. But he was so impressed with her, her talent, her presentation to him. He decided to give her a full scholarship on the spot. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how to sometimes react to some of the blessings that I've experienced lately. So it's just amazing. Just amazing. Thank you guys for hearing me out. Later.
Right.
Looks like Leon dropped off there by mistake, but we'll wait on Leon to come back. What's going on in Charlotte, Joseph?
Well, the biggest thing going on in Charlotte right now is these people are getting geared up for these elections, the primaries.
Right.
And
is any game changing elections taking place where if you lose, it's going to be hell to pay, or somebody wins, going to turn things around?
I don't see any of that. Unfortunately,
okay. Bottom line is, regardless, people need to get out. They need to get into the habit of voting, no matter what's going on. I don't care if it gets dog catcher on the ballot. They need, because you have to build that vote muscle, just like you build that faith muscle and that arm muscle. You got to work on your vote muscle. And if you let it atrophy, if you don't use it, you won't continue. So,
amen.
So just because Obama's not on the ticket, or Biden or Harris or whoever, you've got to get out there and vote and make it a habit, because it encourages other people to vote when you don't have these big elections like midterms and the presidential elections.
Right. But there's one thing.
Exactly right.
I mean, voting is very important. And, of course, and I've been part of a get out the vote campaign since I was 16 years old.
Yes, you have.
One thing, there's another step to voting. Once we vote for these people, we have to hold them accountable. Because, unfortunately, a lot of times, we go out and, vote for people, and at the same time, we're herding people to the polls, I don't have a problem with that. But we have to start holding these people accountable. We need to start looking at what they're doing once they get in office. And when we have a situation where we need to call on them for some assistance or some advice or support or whatever, we have to take into consideration how they respond to us during that time. So I think, you know, voting is important, but at the same time, we have to hold people accountable. We have to make them deserve our vote, earn our vote. And unfortunately, a lot of times our, you know, we know where the Republicans stand, but a lot of times we find too many Democrats that are just, you know, just apathetic. And once they get in these positions, they just sit there. I mean, they don't ever say anything. They don't ever do anything. They don't ever speak out. They just sit there. And the only time we ever hear from them is when it's time again.
But you know what, Joe? You said an important something is very important there. The actual act, the actual process of voting, is actually part of a bigger process, because once the vote has been cast, right now we've got to make sure the vote gets counted. That used to be a given, or at least we thought it was a given. That's not even a given anymore. The way things have changed, now that has to become like another layer or a more intensified layer of this process that used to be, well, let's try to get everybody to the polls. Now we got to make sure they get to the polls. When they get to the polls, their name is on the darn ballot. I mean, their name is on the roll. And after the vote is cast, is it going to be counted and not thrown out?
That's right. That's right. That's
so this thing has gotten, it's like you got to be on your P's and Q's now. You just can't say, look, let me just get up here, wake up in the morning and go vote. That's just one step in a long process.
That's
and like
right.
You said, Joe, once we elect these folks, we got to make sure they do what we put them in there to do, is hold them accountable.
Right, right.
So anyways, so we're going to see
now,
that
guys,
play out.
Here's my
go
take.
Go ahead, Leo.
Here's my take. Both you guys are so on point. Your point about people getting in there and we're not holding them accountable.
Right.
They don't fear us. I don't mean they don't fear us about coming on the stage or slapping them or something like that. They don't fear the black voting bloc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, if we do vote, we don't make any noise. You know what I'm saying? Once they get on there, once they get in the ballot, we don't make people. We don't hold people accountable. So they don't fear us. We don't call and say, "Hey man, why you doing my kid like that in the schoolhouse?" I mean, somebody might show up in the schoolhouse and cut somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't fear us as a block of voters. Because one thing is we don't contribute to campaigns consistently, or as a, you know, it's not part of our culture. And
right. We
don't vote consistently.
Mm-hmm.
So politicians have no reason to really fear us. You know, the main thing they want to do is get elected.
Right.
They want to get elected. And if they're going to start catering to people who vote or give them money. That's pretty much it. Vote or give me money. Hate to say it like that, politicians, but that is the truth. You're going to say, who vote for me or who gives me money?
Mm-hmm.
Robert, you're right. We don't vote. We don't take our vote. We don't take the voting process seriously enough. Folks, everything... All these guys up here cutting the food, this old crazy Hawthorne guy down in Asheville, wherever he is, people like that should not even be considered as a leader. I mean, not even considered. I mean, I remember back in the day when it was required to be an honorable person to be, at least you thought the people were honorable.
Mm-hmm.
At least they tried to make you think they were honorable. But
not
now...
Anymore.
It's like, I'm a liar unless you know I'm lying.
Right.
I'm cheat and let you know I'm cheating.
Right.
As long as you are a part of whatever these people want, these and they have these districts, they have these people in bunches. All these kind of, you know, they draw these districts to get people in bunches that think alike.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys don't care what they do. they know they're going to get reelected.
Right.
They got them in a district full of people just like them, just as evil as they are, whatever the word is we can use for that, for those types, for those people. They have themselves cut out in a district.
Yep.
So we have gotten ourselves in a pickle here.
Mm-hmm.
We have allowed this to happen.
The system is broken, ladies and gentlemen. I've been trying to figure out what to do about it. It's a tough one. I ain't gonna lie. It's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's tough.
It's not impossible.
It's tough.
You can't succumb to defeatist attitude. We got to work with what we have, and what we have right now is on a wing and a prayer. But go ahead, Curtis.
Yeah, I wanted just to add another thing too. I guess Leon was kind of listing reasons why black people are not being taken seriously. And I would like to add two things to that list that he was starting there. One thing is we do not have a clear agenda. Racists have an agenda. They know exactly what they want.
Exactly.
And they get people who will carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hold people accountable if we don't have an agenda to hold them accountable to. You see what I'm saying? You know, in order to hold people accountable, you have to know what you want and what is in your best interest.
That's
And we have so many. You know, our community is so divided now and polluted, and people who are just pimping the community and don't even really care about our issues are now out front being validated. And the church has taken, they are missing in action. We used to at least have one major source where people would come, where we had our own independence and we had our resources, including money, in a central place called faith. And in that song that talks about we've come this far by faith, it's really true. And it seems as if we forgot. And, you know, God doesn't like it when you get what you want and you turn your back on it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a God, he's already talked to you about how, you know, he will leave your children. He will forget your children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's a spiritual element to this thing that we are not taking seriously enough. We are not looking at our history. We are not paying attention to our history. One of the main reasons to know your history is not necessarily just to know dates and years and certain people. But when you know what worked, you should replicate it. When you know what worked in the last generation, when they even had it worse than you had, at least you should be doing it now. But we are not learning our history, and therefore we are not replicating or practicing what worked. What worked then will work again. Some people like to quit this and say, oh, we can't keep doing the same thing over and over. Really, you're not doing the same thing over and over. In fact, you're doing nothing. You're not doing the same thing over and over. You're not sacrificing yourself like those people did when Dr. King and all these other people who are out here dying, willing to lay down their lives for their rights. These people won't even sacrifice a fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten comfortable. The church has taken... has become missing in action. That was a core within the black community that we could bring, you know, resources to. We could meet there and sing and talk about how nobody knows the trouble we see but Jesus, and be inspired and believe that we have something larger than fools like Donald Trump and Cawthorn and all these racists, that we actually look to a larger source for help. And through looking through that larger source, see, what I'm saying about faith is you have to have something that you believe in larger than yourself, larger than your leaders, larger than the institution, larger than the system. You have to have something. If you don't want to believe in Jesus, if you don't want to believe in God, you've got to have something that will motivate you, that will make you do right, that will make you look to a higher power and give you strength to move beyond this mess. But we are stuck in a cycle of spinning our wheels in sand of confusion, of hatred. We're going through the wilderness like they did when the Lord had blessed them and was taking them out of bondage and taking them toward the promised land, and people started acting up and wanted their own God, wanted their own way. And so we just really, we had a solution. It was working. We came this far by faith. We got egos now that's taking us somewhere. And it's taking us straight to hell. And so we need to get back and look at what brought us this far and not forget and stop turning our backs on God and stop turning on each other and turn to each other so that we can rebuild this village, get our agenda back in our hands, back in our churches, and we can do this. If we did it then, we can do it again.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother.
Now, one thing, I will say this, Curtis and the rest of the brothers and everybody else who's listening, it's no coincidence that we're seeing this confusion and fighting against each other, because that's part of the master plan. The powers that be, that's part of their strategy. That's a page from their playbook.
Absolutely.
They own the majority of the media. They own the platform. They own the money. And so they use that weapon to disperse confusion and division. We just can't fall for it. We just have to be smarter and know that that's part of the plan.
Yeah, because they invest in it. They invest in it. FBI went as far as having jobs, giving Negro jobs just to come in and infiltrate and help. I mean, we'll do it for free, but he was paying folk to do it, to give them even more motivation to come in if they see a person that's sincere about trying to do the right thing, that's sincere, that really have a track record of organizing and doing things without, with or without being validated, with or without a grant, with or without being supported, with or without a pat on the back or without a plaque or accolades, willing to do it. When they see these kind of people, then they want to get a Negro or some folk that will come in and disrupt, discredit, undermine, destroy, create confusion. They pay for that. And so we still have people doing it. And like you said, coming straight out of the playbook of J. Edgar Hoover, COINTELPRO, Jim Crow, and all these other patterns that we've seen in our history. And we keep replicating the wrong history. We're replicating the history that destroyed our best and brightest, rather than replicating the history that the best and brightest has started using to build our communities up. So it's all twisted. No, but there is hope.
Well, I think,
like I said, the only reason I have hope, because I do really believe God at the time we should believe God. I don't just wait till church service or when it's convenient to believe that God has power, that he can give us power over the oppressor, over our problems, and be a part of that joy that comes in the morning after all of this week.
Wow. That's deep. Well, Joseph and I were talking earlier today, brothers. We were talking about how the good things in the community. There are so many people in this world that are doing great and powerful and positive things. However, like you said earlier, just shortly, Robert, is the media. You know, the evil ones control the media, or people that control the media have used to use it to push their own narratives, see?
That's a powerful
thing. They don't care about no Hollis Center down in Morgan doing great things. It's not part of the narrative. It's not part of the thing they want to push out into the universe. So one of the things we have to make sure we continue to do as people who believe that positive information works, continue to spread positive information. I mean, young people need to hear it all day long. Every time you're around some young person, they need to hear you say something positive, because all day long they're hearing negative. They're hearing and seeing negative. They're hearing about their friends getting killed. They're hearing about you know, all that stuff. All day long, they're watching, they're hearing their music go in their ears, talking about kill a nigga, kill a nigga, kill a nigga.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they use it like it's just the, the hook. It's the hook in the songs now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, we had you know what, Leon?
How do you compete with that, sir?
But you know what, Leon? I think what we have to do also is, I think sometimes we get a little too distracted by these national wage issues that are put out here to distract and to take us away from the grassroots issue that affect everyday people's lives. Now, what you're doing is to holler, and what Joseph is doing and what Curtis is doing and myself, we're actually doing things that are impactful at the ground level. It doesn't get the media. It doesn't get the attention. It doesn't get the big dollars, not necessarily. We do get some. But we have to work on two fronts. Yes, we care about what's happening to the Ukrainians. Yes, we're very concerned about what's happening with Roe versus Wade. But we can't let those issues overpower what's happening on the ground so that we forget about our young people, that we forget about education, forget about our streets, we forget about our businesses. We have to adjust to these times that we're in. The powers, the evil forces that we're up against, they are diabolical and they are smart. They know what they're doing. We have to make some adjustments. We can't, the old tactics that we use just aren't good enough anymore. We've got to get stronger. We've got to get smarter than ever before. I'm telling you.
What I tell people is
one of the things that that people fear in power because it works, they fear organizers. They fear organization. Now, when I say organization, that doesn't mean a title. That doesn't mean a traditional so-called civil rights organization or whatever. I'm talking about organization. I'm talking about being organized. To show you how powerful being organized is if you roll down the road going 90 miles per hour by yourself, you probably not only get stopped, you probably get your license taken and probably put in jail. But if 90 people went down the road going 90 miles per hour, they're not going to stop.
Yeah.
As drastic as that is, that's just one example of the need to be organized. That's why unfortunately, we have organized crime. They are organized because you have so many powerful people doing wrong that they are not going to care what the law is because they are organized. They are working together. Well, the same should be happening for people who claim and profess to be righteous, who profess to be about justice. But you will notice a lot of the so-called leaders will be the first to try to destroy and distract and divide within the organization. And so, and those people are the ones that are on the media. Those are the people that they do validate and put out there and make them look like they are the voices that should be out there. But the fact of the matter is, what Dr. King and those people did in Montgomery without Martin Luther King having the validation that he had already, or when I say validation, he wasn't necessarily validated by the media, but he was, in fact, becoming validated by the masses. And there is a difference. When you're validated by the media controls what you do. And the masses and the infrastructure and the system controls what you do. You might say certain things to make it look like you are with the people, but you're actually not. But when you are validated by the people, that's what they fear. When the people start to listen to you, when the people start to work with you, that way you can organize. Because once you organize, then even when they come after you, you have people standing with you that will stand and do the right thing, and it's multiplied across the community. And when it starts multiplying, that's why the churches are important. That's why real grassroots organizations are important. That's why it's important that we do what we do, so that we can, in fact, do something that will trigger the imagination of the grassroots and that we somehow can organize.
Curtis, I would say along with that, we have to be an organization of one. You can, wherever you can, make a difference. Make a difference where you are.
Exactly.
Make a difference. Drop your bucket where you are. And if nobody joins you, You just do what you do. You do what you do is right. You make that impact where you can make that impact. And if you're the only one doing it, we have to keep doing that.
It's even more important, Robert, because the more we put all our eggs in one basket, the more vulnerable we become. So if we do have people who are active, we can have a common few things that God speaks to. Another thing that we should follow, listening to the Lord. He said, if you would be faithful over a few things, I will make you ruler.
I'll make you ruler over many.
Sometimes we get we get so much we start trying to do. We start trying to get, like you said, into all these issues, we try to get into everybody else's issues. We try to get, you know, deal with so many types of different groups and all these other things. These groups have people that can speak for them. These people need to understand, you speak for your group. You focus on your group or you focus on your purpose. But we cannot, again, afford to allow the need of the black community to fall through the cracks because we're throwing a blanket over a so-called minority blanket or a so-called people of color blanket or a so-called, you have to deal specifically with the issues that is that are facing black people who have been for the last 400 years totally oppressed, and there has not been much that, in fact, a lot that has changed has gone in the opposite direction. But we're trying to act as if we've already made it, and now we just got to listen to everybody else, when in fact we need people who can focus on the most crucial, and that's why Jesus also said, as much as you've done unto the least, focus on the least of these. Who's amongst the least? Which group is amongst the least? And you know the black group is amongst the least. It doesn't matter what color you are. If you are white and you're righteous, you should be working for the least of these. Society has done so much to beat down black people and hurt black people. Just look at Tulsa. Just look at all that has happened. People just been, who were doing the right thing, had their whole city taken from them. When you look at Wilmington and all these other places. No one has been beaten down like black people. I don't care what you say, and I can back it up with facts. Black people are amongst the least of these, not because black people are least, but because of what society did, the oppression that was used against black folks. So white people who are righteous, Latinos who are righteous, Asians who are righteous, they should be concerned. Black folk who are righteous should be concerned about what has happened to black people in America. It is not racist to stand for black people if you are black. And it's not wrong for whites to stand for black folk who are oppressed. White people and others should understand that black people are amongst the least of these because we have been most brutally oppressed over the last 400 years. And it is righteous. It is Christian. It is Muslim. Every righteous religion will support the need to support black folk, and we need to stop playing around with this.
Amen. 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 These are difficult times. I think the I think that what we do have to do, and when we see, we have to, if we buy into what the media is feeding us, it is easy to get disappointed. I mean, get distressed and distraught and feel like there's no way out. But we have to look at the hollers of the world. We have to look at the different people that are doing things in the community and making a difference. And if you focus, I'm telling you, if you sit there and watch CNN or Fox or MSNBC or whatever all day, man, you'd be ready to go out there and jump in front of a train. But when you cut that crap off for a minute and go focus, get about the business of doing good, of helping people, you will have a different attitude. But if you're sitting there being spoon-fed propaganda all day long, you're not going to do jack squat because you start to feel like there's nowhere to go.
Tell you something, Robert. I turned my TV on the news today for the first time in, like, months. Because I got news break from CNN saying that Dave Chappelle got attacked on stage, right? So I went to CNN to see what they were saying about it on the news.
I know you had to see that.
Yeah, I had to go see that.
So, what, Dave Chappelle been attacked?
Yeah, some dude came up, ran up on stage and tackled him on the stage, man. And,
Somebody did a Will Smith.
That didn't work out too good.
I told you that. I told you we were seeing a bad precedent. I don't know if anybody else is saying this, but that was the reason that I was more concerned about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock personally. I look at precedent.
Yeah.
And when you establish a bad precedent, it impacts a whole industry. It impacts a whole people. It impacts a whole corporation. It impacts a whole nation. It impacts the world. So that is why I thought it was necessary for everyone to be unified in saying, brother, this is not what you do to protect your wife and defend your wife. You can defend your wife, and you should, but this is not the way, you know, to walk up on stage and slap a black man that's a comedian who's telling a joke, because I felt like it was going to create a precedent whereby people start listening to comedians and feeling like, well, I'm offended by what that comedian's saying, so I can, you know, take it out violent, you know. And I don't know if that's being said about anything that has occurred, but I'm just hearing about this, so I don't know what's being said. I don't know.
Well, it was basically the guy attacked him on stage, and by the time he got him down pretty good, the bodyguards, paid security and the unpaid security, had taken him in the back. Beat him up pretty good, and
he worked him over.
Came back out and said, "I kicked it." Dave Chappelle came back out and said, "I've been backstage kicking somebody's butt." He said, "Ain't done that in a long time. It felt good." Anyway, they roughed that dude up pretty good back there. So
yeah,
it's not gonna go well. Yeah, they took him away in ambulance, arm and a stent, and all kinds of stuff. That's not going to go well for people trying to do that now. So maybe what happened to this guy with Dave Chappelle would show people that it's not going to work, you know. See, he thought he would just go up there and do like Will Smith did and walk back, but they kicked that man's butt back there. Huh?
Chris Rock was there. Tell him what Chris Rock said.
Oh, yeah, Chris Rock ran up there and grabbed the mic. Said, hey, was that Will Smith?
That was funny.
It was funny. But Dave Chappelle took it a whole new way. I mean, he stole him. Now that boy stole him. He ran up on him and got him down. But they got that Joker right away.
That Joker had a fake gun and a knife.
Yeah, fake gun where the knife comes out when you, execute it right. Properly. You execute that little fake gun properly, a knife comes out.
Right. Yeah, but that boy could have done some damage if he was, he'd gotten to him.
Yeah.
He was determined.
He got to him.
Something to think about.
Man, I saw it coming, Leon. Did you hear me say that before? About the when this happened and how people need to be clear. That you can't just make this like this is a man defending his wife, because you know. And another thing I was saying about Chris Will Smith, you know, there's some things out there that became very public about somebody messing with his wife, and of course they went on to say, well, you know, they had privately separated, and so that's why Will Smith didn't do anything. But that guy was out in the media saying, you know, what he was doing to Will's wife, and he said, and Will cool with it. I mean, he went as far as saying that. And so, so he jumps up on stage, and he's this macho man. But that is the Hollywood version of a man who jumps up and starts slapping folks. Because, first of all, number one, you don't know what's going to happen coming back. And number two, if you're going to try to use that to determine manhood, by how violent you can be, then, of course, the devil has won. Because, first of all, every man is not physically in a position. I would fight, but I know every man is not physically able to fight. Some men are struggling to walk. Some men are special needs. You know, so if we're going to try to find whether a person is a man by whether they get up on stage and slap somebody, you know, that is an uncivilized and savage manner for society to act as if that is exemplifying manhood when the person did not do anything physically to harm the wife. Of course, you know, it was a joke and it was offensive, but, you know, another thing about celebrities, celebrities should know by now a part of being a celebrity is you are verbally offended at times because, you know, people see you as, you know, you've made it, you're up there, you're big, and now we can make a joke about you, we can write about you, we can do these things about you. I mean, when you become a public figure and a celebrity, you know, that's a part of it. You're no longer a private person. I mean, that unfortunately, good or bad, that's a part of the territory, and you need to know that going in.
Well, Curtis, I'm going to say this all to the brothers. If I ever thought about going on stage slapping somebody, I changed my mind after I saw what they did to that dude that jumped up on Dave Chappelle's stage.
That's not going to fly here.
That is what should have happened. That's what should have happened in Will Smith's case. Because I would question where the hell was security when you have a person up there telling these types of jokes. How is it that somebody can just walk up on stage? I know Will Smith probably is such a celebrity too. They probably could have assumed, those people who might have been a part of security could have assumed that that was a time where Will Smith was supposed to have been up there. But once they saw him do what he did, on the way back, he should have had a rough ride back to that seat. In fact, you know, and he went back and continued to taunt from his seat. So that was very interesting on how, you know, he could do that for a person, you know, such as a person who's up there in a touch
position. Well,
you're exposing yourself to the public when you're doing what you're doing as a comedian.
Well, they decided they weren't going to do it wrong twice. They got that joker. That joker couldn't talk by the time they got through with him, man. He definitely wasn't going to be talking from his seat. I almost felt sorry for him, man. They beat him up so bad back there. They beat that boy down.
He gonna complain? Where's that,
Joseph?
Who is he going to complain to?
He certainly can't complain to Dave Chappelle. I don't think you can complain to the people that own the venue. I don't think you can complain to the security guards. I don't think he's going to be able to complain to the cops. I can't think of anybody.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll lay you up this butt. They were kicking that juggle. They made an example out of him, I tell you that now.
Well,
you know, it's on YouTube. Somebody just, yeah. They got some clips of it.
What's up with all this violence that's happening out here in the workplace, and people beating up people in the drive-through windows, and people shooting each other going down the street? I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's a man, a woman, young, old, black,
Trump.
White. Folks are just acting a fool. It's
Trump,
like,
yeah.
It's the Wild West out here. Did Trump unleash this?
Trump.
No.
I'm going to tell you something else, too, people doing. I'm going to tell you something else people doing, too. They wrecking cars. They tearing up cars, having wrecks and all kind of stuff. I mean.
Yeah, tearing up Airbnbs. I mean, you're right, Joe.
My loss ratio is since I've been in the insurance business, loss ratios have never been an issue with me. Matter of fact, I've always run the lowest loss ratios of really about any agency, and really better than a lot of large companies. My loss ratio, you know, in other words, that's how you determine your profitability. Last year this time, my loss ratio was about 30%. This year, my loss ratio was 141.
Good job.
They can up everything you insure under, bro.
And that's not only with Gatewood Insurance, that's across the board.
Should I figure that? Yeah, I figured that. I figured that was pretty much a trend now. people doing that kind of stuff. Like you say, there's no way I'll be a landlord now. I would not even dream about it.
Landlord, boss, bus driver, Uber driver, it's rough being anything now when you're dealing with the public. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
The public's a lost they don't matter.
Man, I'm telling you, it's an evil. It's evil, man. It's evil. People have turned their backs on faith, turned their backs on something that you would believe in as righteous, that would give you the confidence to do the right thing. Now people are taking these people who've been validated like Trump and all the people in our community that we know and thinking that, you know, what these leaders do is the example of what to do. Of what you can do. And they are just as corrupt. But like I said, the more organized they become, the more they're able to get away with it. And so it takes an organization or organized people. And like I said, when I'm saying organization, I don't necessarily mean one entity or one group. And unfortunately, our larger, more traditional civil rights organizations are pretty much in a stalemate position. And they're pretty much either at stalemate or on a decline. And so there is not really a lot of examples of people who are actually visible, whether it's in the church or whether it's in politics or whether it's in civil or whatever. The people who are most visible are sending the wrong messages. They're still, you know, doing this stuff that would be favorable toward the oppressor. And even some of the church stuff that's going on, it's exemplary of the oppressor, and God has already spoken on that. You know, be ye not envious of the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. But they're playing right out of the same playbook of the oppressor, and the people who are least powerful, unfortunately, end up being the most impacted by these people who basically have just thrown away the rule book. We have a lawless form of law enforcement. We have a criminal justice system. Everything is supposed to be maintaining order. Even the church is out of order. That's right.
Yeah. Well, here's what's going to happen, guys. I'm going to make a prediction right quick. Because these guys are evil, so to speak, they're not going to be successful. It may take a few days, but their power structure will dismantle because they'll eventually start eating on each other. That's just the way it works. That's just the way of the world. But in the meantime, we're stuck. We're stuck in a pickle. But these guys will dismantle. They cannot live amongst themselves the way they are. They're working together now to get in power. So once they get in power, you know, just like we know, you guys know just like I know, the power structure starts fighting against each other. That's what's going to happen with these guys. And at that point, maybe things will do better. Maybe we'll get another chance to come pull ourselves together and get some footing. But right now, they got it. They're still in fight mode and to get power and take it. But eventually, look at Putin. Eventually, they'll start fighting amongst themselves. That's the way it works.
But you know what? You're right, Leon, because that's really what happened in the continent of Africa. The power, when they did that Berlin Conference in 1865, these guys got together and decided how they wanted to part Africa, these big, powerful, I guess what he called first world countries. And we didn't start seeing liberation until after World War II, when these powerful countries pretty much almost destroyed each other. And we start to see a dismantling of some of that power when they start killing each other. And history backs up what you're saying, Leon. In other words, there's a historic precedent of what you're saying.
Can you imagine that these people really putting up with Marjorie Taylor Greene for a long time? See, right now that she's just part of that group that's trying to take power. But once they know that girl's crazy. They're just letting her do that now because she's part of that power structure.
All that Trump mess, all that mess is going to fall apart because it's – see, and again, building off what's been said, what you were saying, Leon and Robert, you know, when you're on a shaky foundation, when your foundation and your platform is immoral and corrupt, then it does not, you know, it's going to be what the scripture might refer to like sinking sand. It's not going to stand. And so, but unfortunately right now, another thing that was said earlier, I think it was by Robert, is that, you know, we've been falling for the okey-doke. We've been, that's the problem right now. We are not focused on what's going on. See, during the time of Hitler and all those boys, they were actually people who were actually standing for something. The churches and all that were still trying to stand. Mm-hmm. And once that stuff failed, they were left standing. You know, we still have
right,
an economic
right.
While these Wall Street
right.
people were jumping out of windows, we had something that was,
right.
that was out there that stood when they jumped out of the window. But right now,
because,
we've just been out here all over the place. And we're not standing
well,
and not faithful over a few things. Yeah.
That's what I was saying earlier, is that you keep the Leons and the Curtises and the Josephs and the people out there in the listening audience who are doing good work.
Right.
Keep doing what
right.
you're doing. Don't get distracted
right.
by these. Let these guys, what Leon really just said a minute ago gave me faith, is that let these guys eat each other. Let these guys knock each other off. While we keep doing what we're doing and keep building our foundations down at the grass level and make sure we keep doing what we can do to help our community.
That's right. That's right. That's what it, we have to stay focused, guys. You know, we just have
right.
to keep doing what
be
we know we're supposed to be doing.
Things.
That's right.
Be faithful over a few
Amen.
Things.
That's right. We just got to keep
and
working.
And he will make you ruler over me. That is real. We've just been too... We're not focused. We're distracted. Well, you know, I'm not saying, when I say we, I mean as a larger society. I don't mean we as the brothers or we, those of us who are actually doing something, but as a larger society that would normally have some type of impactful way in how the black masses and other oppressed people would think. There's just too much division and too much stuff going on. But I do believe, like we said, you know, it's another thing about weeping. We'll endure for a night, but you got to keep on going until that joy that comes through that unity and that righteous stand and that never wavering stand for what is right on that solid rock, on that solid ground. You know, if you just keep standing, then that joy will come in the moment.
That's right, everybody. That about does it for the Gate with Brothers or the Brothers for Real Show tonight. Put your hands together, people. We need to put our hands together. We got to stay together. Work. How are the children? Wake up in the morning and ask yourselves, how are the children? The children are suffering because we have failures in leadership. We must find a way to protect our children. We must find a way to continue to feed into our children. And I don't mean Cheetos. We got to start feeding into our children. And I don't mean nuggets. I mean we got to keep feeding into our children. OJ's brain taking us home, guys. Y'all have a good night, man. I am hungry. I'm getting ready to get up out of here and go find me a chicken nugget.
Hey, guys, let me tell you
something.
Awesome.
Yeah, man.
Classics. Pay the
chip. Can you hear you, Robert?
I was saying, have you ever tried Kettle Classics potato chip?
What kind of potato chip?
It's an Utz Kettle Classic.
Turn those LJs down a minute, man.
I'm going to tell you. This is not a commercial. I was in the grocery store yesterday, and I was looking for some potato chips, right? I was looking for something just to snack on. I ran across this chip called Utz Kettle Classic Maui Barbecue. Man, you talking about a mouthful of flavor.
Kettle Classic Maui Barbecue.
Yeah, I don't know if they sell them everywhere, but man, I have never tasted a potato chip so good
tree.
In my life.
Are you serious?
I think they sell them at the Dollar Tree.
Is that right? It's called Maui.
You mean
the
$1.25 tree?
Oh yeah, that's right.
I think the Dollar Tree went up.
And guys, this is not a commercial. I'm just telling you, I've never had a potato chip taste so good.
Can you say what's the name of it again?
It's Utz Kettle what? Classic. K-E-T-T, Kettle Classic.
Kettle Classic, Maui.
Barbecue.
Okay.
Try it at the chip and let me know what you think. Let me know what you think. Was it right just me? That is a delicious potato chip. I'm telling you.
How you spell Maui?
I'm thinking about that man.
M-A-U-I.
Okay.
M-A-U-I.
I'm going to get me some right now, brother.
As long as y'all not
get me another bag.
Ass.
I'm going back to the store. Make sure they have them sold them all before I get there.
as long as you're not drinking that.
All right, guys.
All right.
Have a good night, brother.
Hey, brother.
Love you, brother.
Right,
see you next Saturday.